Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f*** but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it, y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Nobodies. Welcome to a special Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone vacation show.
Vacation show!
Vacation show! We're not going anywhere special, just kicking back here in the beautifully air-conditioned Ray Horseman studio in North Hollywood, California. We're relaxing in this refreshingly chilly room to bring you a special treat. Our review of a movie original so that you know whether or not to see the sequel. This week, we watched Elvis Presley's Viva Las Vegas to help you decide whether you want to see the live-action release of The Lion King. It will all make sense later on. I'm Adam Felber, making sure that logical discourse in our show doesn't leave the building early. Think of me as Colonel Tom Parker, only with several fewer chins. And now, please welcome the woman who ain't nothing but a conversational hound dog, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you, Adam.
And thank you to our house band on the mandolin. That's Dmitri Yevstafeyev.
Yeah.
Did I do that right? I did it right, so I'm gonna add in his middle name because he told me. It's Dmitri Igorovich Yevstafeyev.
Yeah.
How'd it do, Dmitri?
Yeah.
All right.
His real name is Greg Brady, but thank you. Thank you for trying to make it more challenging. Yeah.
Well, so, Paula, we're on vacation
it's
now.
It's our vacation
we're
show.
We're kicking back, chilling here with some brewskis.
Every summer I have vivid, vivid memories of our family vacations growing up with the station wagon.
We had a station wagon.
Yeah, we had the station wagon. We drove almost every summer. We drove either directly to Huntsville, Alabama, or we would, you know, swing through some other states.
That's a long drive from, like, central-ish Massachusetts, isn't it?
It was, southwest of Boston, Massachusetts. And, because I was born in Alabama, but raised in Massachusetts. And I
King
was the,
Tut.
I was the youngest, so my family were Southerners.
Right.
Even though they were, because I was a month old when they moved to Massachusetts. So we were Southerners in a car headed south. This means two things. And, you know, kids now don't realize there were very few places to pull over back then.
Roads did not have shoulders the same way they did. And there certainly weren't as many rest stops.
Right. Exactly. Now, you know, every few feet,
kids today are spoiled by being able to pee willy nilly.
Well, precisely.
Yeah.
We had a pan in the car.
No. That you,
yeah. They would not stop.
You would sit on a pan?
Yeah. It was thoroughly disgusting.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful
I don't even think
memory.
That's a Southern thing. I think that's just your parents were messed up kind of thing.
No. I think it was a Southern thing. Because even when you got to the house you were going to, my relatives still had outhouses.
Really?
Yeah.
Outhouses and toilets or outhouses?
Yeah, no, just an outhouse for me. No, we had outhouses. My grandmother lived in a trailer park. Behind the trailer park was a creek that had all sorts of, red dirt and stray cats. And we played in the creek. One thing I remember vividly was sometimes we'd go to Texas first. And what I remember about Texas
just to get a clean shower?
We did stay in a bigger house there. But it was, I forget, my Uncle Henry and my Aunt something. And
I think you're confusing yourself with Dorothy.
But they weren't, the thing is, they weren't actual relatives. That's a big thing in the South. Everybody is your uncle.
If there's a closeness there, you make them family members.
Right. And not to me, by the way, not a closeness to me, but a closeness to my mother or my father. So, all right. So we used to stay at this one house in Texas where they had like a little teeny backyard and like a cement. A lot of the backyard was cement.
Right.
And on top of that cement, there was an inflatable kiddie pool.
Wow.
That we used to dive into.
What do you mean dive?
Well, it wasn't like a head first dive, but we would like dive, like a racing dive into
a running jump into a kiddie pool.
Yeah. And yet my rib cage seems to be in working order.
Yeah, it's not like you have a chronic cough or anything.
And know what? I think back about that. I'm like, how did we not get and the other thing is the whole way down, let's see, we had one set of relatives. My Aunt Irene and my Uncle Leslie, who owned a laundromat. And by the way, I've always wanted to own a laundromat myself, perhaps because of that. Also, because
I couldn't think of any other reason.
I have OCD, and I bet you I would do the best fluff and fold.
You
ever.
Probably would. Yeah, you probably would.
You know,
you told me early on in our relationship about your relationship with being a dishwasher in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And that sounded unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, it's not unhealthy if you're the owner of the restaurant.
No.
Glorious.
No, it's your bottom line.
I
suddenly
cleaned for 48 hours once, fell asleep while vacuuming. But when I sell my remarkably soft tri polyblend t-shirts with...
As you do at paulapoundstone.com.
Yes, and also at my shows with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back.
Right.
I folded those shirts. That is my folding.
Really?
That's gone into
those shirts. I thought they were rolled up.
Well, they are now rolled up, but some are still folded.
Okay. But you could run a laundromat that does fluff and roll.
Fluff and, oh, God, that's a good idea.
Is it?
But so when we would pull over at a gas station.
Yes.
My mother would say to us, do you want a Coke? And this was a huge treat, by the way. This wasn't the way I sucked down beverages.
If I were your mom, my first thing that I would have said it would be empty the goddamn pan before I offer you another Coke.
No, I think it was a thing where we were trying to get that pan as full as we could. She would say, does anybody want a Coke? And we would say, yes, 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 we want a Coke. And she would say, what kind? And I would say, grape. And my sister would say orange.
Right.
Because everything was Coke.
Everything's a Coke
because
to a Southerner. I knew that.
I'm sure
all of our Southern listeners know that.
There was no air conditioning in the cars back then. My father made, over the back seat, he made this like a luggage compartment. So it rested on the top of the back seat, a board, and it went straight across over the wheel wells. And then he had a hinged flap with another board, and he slid the luggage under there. My two sisters slept on top of that board, and I slept in the little hole in between the tailgate and the board. And
how are you alive?
He was an engineer. And
yeah, that
I just
makes sense.
Think now, like, if forget seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen, we were projectiles.
Yeah.
And
you would have launched through that front windshield or back windshield.
Yeah.
Or in a pinch, the side windows.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, he never had to hit the brakes because somebody had to pee.
Oh, that's right. That's
so
that saved
just
some
kept
time.
Kept it going. Well, it's a beautiful story, isn't it?
It is. No, it's not a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful
there's
story.
There's nothing beautiful about it. It's full of buckets of pee and rivers of shit and kids going through windscreens. I don't get the
And my Uncle Leslie,
part.
Who was really my great Uncle Leslie, would take us to, in Huntsville, Alabama, he would take us to an empty lot where he would fire firecrackers off in cans. He'd put them in a can and light them. And we just thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Because it was louder inside the can?
I have no idea why. But what I realized adult is that, yes, he did that and we were there as little kids to be entertained. But I have a feeling that my Uncle Leslie would have been doing that all by himself.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't just, you know.
You've just taken
was,
me on this,
it
like,
was you
American
kids come
Gothic
on with me for my 4th of July celebration.
How did he not have just one hand? How did you not get dragged under some porch in Alabama? I mean,
never
I just
did.
Don't.
Never did. Never you kids did. Want a Coke? Yeah. Orange, grape.
Oh, my Lord.
You want some Mexican jumping beans? We do.
All right, let's move to a more pleasant subject.
No, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, but, well, more pleasant would be you losing your will to live.
No, I haven't yet.
Yes, you did, remember?
Oh, my gosh, I did lose my will to live. What was I thinking?
They changed the recipe on Butterfingers.
They changed the Butterfinger. And here's the awful part. I was eating some Butterfinger chips once, which is one of the best sizes.
Chips.
And they're called Butterfinger chips. It's little bite-sized Butterfingers.
Oh, I've had those bite-sized
Butterfingers.
And
they come in a box.
Delightful.
Not individually wrapped. And I opened up one time. I was on the road. I was so excited to get my favorite treat. I put it in my mouth. I almost spit it right out again. It was so awful. And then I thought, well, it's got to be like it's
expired.
Got a bad batch. Right, or something. And then
or an international one. I find that these candy companies, when they come from another country, they just make them a little different.
Oh, man. Well, I looked at the box, and there, to my surprise, to my horror, was a red corner that said,
the upper left.
New, improved recipe.
Right, and we've covered
this
extensively.
That's when the sands shifted beneath my feet.
Right, and it turns out, this is why I bring it up, you, Paula Poundstone, are not alone in this death spiral that you've been in since they changed the recipe.
It's been awful.
Because you hoarded as many as you could of the old recipe.
I have, and I have to say, a fan, and I forget where they were. I think it must have been a nobody. I forget what city I was in, but she made me a Butterfinger necklace.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was really kind.
Well, there's a journalist named Caroline Schnapp.
Caroline Schnapp,
Caroline
sure.
Schnapp.
Mrs. Schnapp's youngest.
Yeah, exactly. Of the... New Brunswick Schnapps, no doubt.
She ran the town.
She wrote in Food and Wine just recently, just, you know, in March.
In Food and Wine. She didn't spell out words with Food and Wine.
No, she wrote...
Food and Wine Magazine.
Food and Wine Magazine. I'm sorry, you're right.
She was desperate.
She was desperate. All she had
wrote,
to write with was
she wrote
food.
In Food and Wine, help, I'm abandoned on
and
an
I have
island.
No pen. no, she wrote an article entitled, I'm Hoarding Candy Bars for My Daughter, Let Me Explain. She's built up a personal stash of Butterfinger's original recipe, and her emotional connection... is as personal as yours. She said, as a new mom, I feel a strong sense of maternal responsibility to pass this knowledge onto my, and the knowledge being the old Butterfingers, onto my daughter. Will the newer, admittedly less saccharine version fulfill all her hopes and dreams for what a chocolate treat can be?
No.
I can't be sure. So she's saving these things.
Boy, she's a better person than me.
Yeah, because you'd eat them all.
If I even hear the pantry door open, I'm like, get out of there! Those are mine!
Yeah. So you're not alone. No, we have a petition linked on our Facebook page. Tony Anita Hull drew one up.
It's taken off.
It's taken off.
The phones are lighting up.
I haven't looked at it recently, but yeah, the phones are lighting up.
Well, I am in the process of writing a rap song.
I was going to ask you with amazing musician producer Jay Deal, who was on our show about 3 weeks ago. You wrote a very good rap.
Thank you.
About Butterfingers and how they don't need to change while other things do. How's that coming?
It's coming along really well. I was in my hotel room in Washington, D.C. just a couple days ago, late at night, working on my rap. And I assume that was cheering I heard in the other room. There was a lot of banging on the wall.
Banging is usually not cheering.
No, I think it was people.
Was it rhythmic banging, like to the tune, to the rhythm of your song?
No, didn't sound like
it. Then that's almost certainly an irate, a patron of the same hotel being angry at you.
Wow. Yeah. Well, then it's going to evoke feelings. That's
what
I know.
Well, rap always does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's an angry music, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm continuing to listen to Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Because
you feel you have a lot in common with.
Artists that I have a lot stylistically in common with.
And again, I have to ask you, in what way?
We rap.
Okay.
We rap about meaningful things.
That's true, and they both do.
It's not just bullshit rap.
Particularly Kendrick. I'm
Kendrick
a really
Lamar
big fan.
Kendrick Lamar got a Pulitzer Prize.
For the newest album.
Yes.
The name escapes me, but the one where all the songs are in capital letters.
Yeah, and I'm, I don't want to one-up Kendrick Lamar, but...
I don't think that's a real risk?
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's completely out of the realm of possibility.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's nowhere in the realm of possibility.
That my rap work with the assistance and tutelage of
J. Deal. Well, that's possible. He'll make it sound better.
Yeah. He. I don't think he can make it sound a lot better. Not according to the people in the other room when I was in Washington, D.C. in the hotel.
Again, those people were not necessarily really supportive.
I think they were.
Were they yelling as well?
It was something. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It might have been rap. It was something like, shut the fuck up.
It
could have been.
Yeah, frequently said in rap songs and also by people who want you to shut the fuck up.
Oh, I thought it was like joining in like with the feeling of the.
No. If they were joining in, it would be like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
No, it wasn't that sound.
No, I'm almost certain that that's the next time you're in a hotel, try to pay attention to the actual content of their lyrics and see if they match up with yours.
I'm a positive person, Adam, which I think you've learned by now, and so I'm pretty sure there was supportive banging.
You are
on the other side of that wall.
Relentlessly positive when it is unwarranted. Now, Paula, it's a vacation.
It's a vacation show, and what do on vacation shows often?
We often watch the first installment of a franchise to tell you if you should watch the sequel, which is coming out. And summer movie season, so we have a bunch of possibilities. Tonight, we're reviewing Viva Las Vegas.
Exactly.
To determine whether you should watch one of the most anticipated summer movies, which opens this week, The Lion King.
Uh-huh. That's right, because Elvis Presley is the king of rock and roll.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And Anne Margaret is Nala.
I'm gonna go with that.
Because, I think you should.
Because, you know, like a couple weeks ago, we were letting people know if they should see the new Men in Black movie.
Right. And we watched the Smurfs.
We watched the Smurfs because...
Men in Blue.
Men in Blue.
Yeah.
So we're
It was very helpful to
afield.
A lot of people, by the way. We've got a lot of feedback on our Facebook page with people saying that they also liked the Smurf movie and that's why they went to see Men in Black.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And people have been saying that to you? Or has this been while banging on walls on the other side of your hotel room?
No, they've been saying that to me. A lot of people have been saying that
like
to
who?
Me. Adam loved... I can't remember the specific names, Adam, and I don't think that's important. What I'm saying is, listeners, so it's got to be one of 12. should narrow it down for you.
Yeah, that does. I can ask them. And we'll be back with our review of Viva Las Vegas right after this. All right, we're back, and we're ready to review Viva Las Vegas so that you can determine whether or not to see The Lion King. Okay, so Viva Las Vegas features Elvis as a race car driver, and he has to win back the affection of Anne Margaret, just as Simba had to defeat Scar to take back his homeland.
Yeah, so you can see already there's parallels.
Almost.
Elvis was a race car driver. He's introduced as a race car driver, like in the beginning of the film. You only see him actually drive a race car at the very end.
Drive until the end.
One of the first, maybe the first scene that he's in, he's gambling in a casino.
Before we get to the review, we do have an announcement, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
Yeah, it's before we get to our review, I want to give a shout out to our audio engineer, Anthony Alfaro, and the meerkat he brought with him to the Ray Horseman Studios this week.
It's a nice
salute to the Lion King.
Wow. Oh, look at it. It's got its little paws.
It's standing up.
It's standing up with its little paws looking over. I think that's one of the ones from that PBS show, or what was it? Meerkat Mansion?
Meerkat Kingdom? Yeah,
I'm pretty
sure
I recognize that one.
See, nowadays I look at meerkats and all I see is Nathan Lane.
Why?
He played the meerkat in the original animated Lion King.
I didn't know that.
Didn't he?
No, I have no idea.
I don't know if he did or he didn't. Lezebnik.
You're thinking of...
Ken Lezebnik's America is right here and he's nodding.
You're thinking of the producers, the meerkat version of the producers.
I assure you I'm not thinking of the meerkat version of the producers.
Well, Anthony, thanks for bringing the meerkat.
It's really nice. Anthony's been bringing animals every week.
He's been bringing animals. Where does he get them?
I don't know.
Get the animals.
I think they're black market animals at best.
So is this version? I just want to tell the listener that Viva Las Vegas was the real people, Viva Las Vegas, not the animated.
Right, Viva. And I just want to tell our listeners that there was no animated Viva Las Vegas.
But a lot of people aren't sure because now, especially with Disney, they do the animated, then the real people, and then they do the real people, and then the animated.
Disney had nothing to do with this, and there was no animated Viva Las Vegas.
There was.
I'll tell you what it was. It was a 1964 MGM film. It did well at the box office, number 14 on the Variety list of top grossing films of the year. Elvis Presley as Lucky Jackson, Anne Margaret as Rusty Martin. Cesar Danova as Count Elmo Mancini, and William Demarest
as her father,
as Mr. Martin.
All right, so they do a terrific, like, I don't know what you call that, like montage or something of all the old Las Vegas, which were new at the time.
We
Las
opened
Vegas
with a shot
signs.
Of the Las Vegas Strip, yeah.
Yeah, and the old Strip.
The old Strip.
The Golden Nugget and all that.
The Strip
and,
that had strippers.
Yeah, and that part was great. After that, it's downhill.
I think we have to say right away that neither of us enjoyed this. It started, like, within moments, we got to a real hashtag Me Too moment. It almost felt like the Donald Trump, Billy Bush moment, because Elvis Presley and his rival, this Count Elmo Mancini, who's a driver too.
Yeah.
They meet Anne Margaret and they immediately start.
Wait, but we have to back up.
Okay.
Before that, Elvis wins money at a craps table.
Yes.
Okay, right after they show the montage of Las Vegas, Elvis wins money at a craps table.
And heads, yeah.
And then, I don't know, and then we find out other things. But before they met Anne Margaret, he had won money at a craps table.
And he was going to use it to
buy a new engine.
Beef up his race car so he could race in some big upcoming race.
Right.
And so that's the setup. And then Anne Margaret pulls up to his garage, and Elvis and this rich count, who's also a race car driver,
right,
kind of conspire behind Anne Margaret's back to trick her and find ways to find her. And they're going to be competing for her.
That was a little bit me-too-y. They pretend that her, I don't know, she said her engine was making a noise, she thought.
Yeah.
And they both start telling her that it's going to take a long time to repair it.
And they quickly break the car so that she can't start it and so that they can get to know her a little bit.
By the way, almost any woman who's ever brought her car in for work has experienced something similar. Not necessarily somebody making a sexual play.
Right.
But women in general get ripped off at car fixers with regularity.
Wow.
So it's not weird. That part was not, that's
you
really
know what
regular.
Was really me too about it though was the camera.
Oh, right. It followed her ass right
the
from the start.
The camera was like all on her ass from the first second. And then she would, it was kind of gross.
I didn't even notice that, but apparently you did.
Of course I did. That is what it means to be a straight man in 2019. You have to look back on our entire cultural history, and you notice that stuff because you've been trained to, and you just, I guess you instinctively do, you hate it at the same time.
No, I was listening to the dialogue and the way the relationships were being built.
And I was punching myself in the nuts and calling myself an evil piece of person. So we were experiencing it on different levels.
She had a really, that's what you were doing.
Yeah. we should say, I want to say outright though, Anne Margaret, not just beautiful, but like
fucking believable.
The only
she
thing worth
great.
Watching in the movie.
Every time she was on screen with Elvis, you couldn't take your eyes off of Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
And in your case, her ass.
Whatever was on camera, whatever part of her was on camera.
No, she made him look like so untalented as a singer and a dancer. Really, she did. And I was surprised by that because, by the way, I like Elvis Presley as a singer.
And I do not.
because they don't go tight on his ass for you.
Okay.
So anyway, that was unexpected for me. I had, Anne Margaret references, how lovely to be a woman, which never did anything for me when she was Kim McAfee in Bye Bye Birdie. So I was prepared really not to like Anne Margaret, and I got to say she was fantastic.
Wild. Yeah, she's just great. And we should say the cameraman was obviously a man, but the movie was written by a woman, Sally Benson.
This really surprised me. Right in the beginning, when the credits roll, I'm like, oh my God, that's a long time ago for there to have been a woman writing the screenplay of a big deal movie.
Of a big deal movie,
An Elvis and Margaret vehicle, if you will.
A vehicle about
vehicles. And then when you watched this movie that had every trite rom-com conceit. They're possibly, you know, it's like they meet her. She doesn't like Elvis. He follows her. Then she does like him. Then he's a race car driver and he needs money. And it all depends on him winning the race. And at one point she says to him, because, of course, she wants him to quit racing. Well, he hasn't even raced since they've been together.
But she worries.
She's worried that it's too dangerous. And then at one point she says to him, you're just going to keep gambling and racing. He gambled once. We don't have any evidence that he ever gambled before.
Well, neither does she.
Right. Well, precisely. So it was just this trite, horrible writing, which explains why there were really no women writing screenplays for years after this.
You think that Sally Benson just kind of...
I think she wrecked it.
She deep sixed the female writer all by herself.
I think she kind of ruined it for everybody.
There were a lot of bad Elvis movies. I don't think they were all written by Sally Benson, but she did have 99 stories published in a New Yorker magazine.
I didn't know that.
I guess after this movie, they didn't give her 100.
No. I think she ruined the possibility for many women writers. By the way, the character of the Anne Margaret character. They went looking for her because they're like, oh, a good-looking girl in Las Vegas. And so they assume she must be a showgirl.
Yeah.
So they go to all these different nightclubs looking for her, and they can't find her. And then, like, the following day, outside the window of the Count's hotel room.
The very hotel they're both in.
Right. They're staying at this hotel, and they hear a voice that they recognize, and they look out. And there's a pool at this hotel. And for some odd reason, the pool has a swimming and diving coach.
For little kids.
I've been to many hotels.
Yeah.
They'll say no lifeguard. It'll say it right there. It'll say swim at your own risk.
How many hotels have you been in 1964? And how many luxury hotels?
Because
I'll tell you something about this. Anne Margaret and Elvis and the Count were not like peeing in pans in this hotel.
I was about to say in 1964 when my parents would pull over, we did stay in a hotel and it often had a pool. I don't know if you'd call a Howard Johnson's a luxury hotel.
I wouldn't.
certainly had a good Hojo Cola. Well, all right. So they show when we are introduced to the fact that she works at this as the swimming coach, there's a long scene of her coaching little kids in diving.
And again, that's you know, we thought we were going to see her as a showgirl, and they decided to, in a much more dignified manner, put her in a bathing suit.
Right. Oh, there she was in a bathing suit and helping. And this is a little known fact. There's on one of the divers, one of the little boy divers, there is a very young Greg Louganis.
There isn't.
There is.
Really?
Yeah. Don't you remember that kid who hit his head on the way off the board?
Oh!
Yeah, and yet it was still a fantastic dive.
Yeah, well, no. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember when the pool fills with blood? And the lifeguard, everybody out.
You did doze off several times while I was busily
yourself in the balls. So yeah. You missed this whole part.
Shame, 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 I kept yelling.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo, and he has a really grovelly voice. So it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted, and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet
parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is yes, the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at Quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and yeah, she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally, and everybody just piles on it, and it's comfy, and yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code. In one scene, Anne Margaret and Elvis, this was something very notable. There's a scene where Anne Margaret and Elvis are singing and dancing together. Now, there's nothing about his character so far that has been described as a singer in any way.
Yeah.
And yet, she says to him at one point that she's teaching dance lessons somewhere, and she wants him to come because the kids are all expecting him to come.
Yeah,
why would they know him?
He shows up, and he misses the dance lesson, and she said, oh, I told them all you were coming. At least maybe you could sing. And I was like, yes, let's ask the race car driver to sing to the dance students.
That has a potential gambling problem after one gambling. But here's the thing. So they do a song and dance, if you could call it that. I mean, I got to tell you, I loved how Elvis moved when he sang, but this guy could not fucking dance. He was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, because his movements when he was singing were like there was this pelvis thing that he did and a lot of posing.
Yeah.
It's later the kind of thing that Mick Jagger ended up doing. I mean, I'm sure that they had very different moves, but it was the sort of thing where it's not really dancing.
And Mick Jagger never put on all that weight.
No, Elvis wasn't fat in this movie.
Not in this movie.
No.
But you could see he was headed in that direction.
Can you really? Did you really feel like you could see it coming?
No, I'm kidding. No. So Anne Margaret and him danced together, and she's wearing a yellow dress.
Yeah.
Like a pale yellow dress. And Elvis was wearing this short yellow jacket.
Yeah.
And part of the conceit of the movie is that they, you know, they both needed money. He needed money for his engine. This is why he had to go out and gamble.
Right.
And yet they
the
had never met
before. The engine was literally
the
engine of the plot. It was that on
the
nose.
And they had never.
And the vehicle for the movie was a vehicle.
They had met like a day before, and yet already they had not a color that you frequently would find.
They were both wearing yellow dance clothes.
They were both wear, like they already had matching outfits.
Well, there's and a lot of say, imagistic stuff there.
The clothing they had Elvis in, and I'm not saying, well, it wouldn't be attractive today. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was ugly then as well.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
It was tacky.
That the costume designer is now awaiting sentencing and
still
hoping that her assistant doesn't flip
wow
and go state's evidence. It was
wow
bad.
50-odd years later, she's still awaiting sentencing.
Viva
Las Vegas. And that's the thing. When he was dancing,
painful.
Especially during the Viva Las Vegas number, which is
Viva
obligatory.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, what you're doing was which looks like you're spasming.
Yeah.
Was better than what he was doing. Yeah. It was reminiscent of like Martin Short doing an Elvis impression.
If they were making that film now,
right,
it is not beyond the realm that I would be called in to coach him in dancing. That's how bad his dancing was. Viva Las Vegas.
It was really weird. It was almost a Pee Wee Herman dance.
Yeah, this was. I mean, you have made me watch some shit films in your backyard.
No, we keep going back to this "you have made me" thing. We are doing a podcast together.
Okay, in this case, I suggested that we watch Viva Las Vegas.
So then you made me watch some shit films.
No, I only suggested that we watch Viva Las Vegas because I wanted a film that would help the listener know if they should watch The Real People Lion King.
Yeah.
And I felt this was the best guideline. Viva Serengeti. I felt this was the best.
Yeah, I do get the premise of
guideline.
This bit.
But,
yeah,
you know, why you ever made me watch Predator?
What?
That was one piece
what
of shit.
What a weird
film.
Leap of logic it was when the movie The Predator was coming out to watch the original Predator in this, in which I told you you'd hate, by the way.
Yeah. And then what was the other one you liked? Pacific Rim.
I love Pacific
Viva
Rim.
Viva Pacific Rim. It was awful. It was horrible.
Why are we retracking to those? Because you're embarrassed
Viva
that you made us watch the
Miranda Street.
Viva North Hollywood.
This is a Viva Tohunga. I still do
but,
not
But, you know, Ken Lezebnik told us that this was one of the more respected Elvis movies.
Ken
which
said
sends
that this
fear
was,
into my heart.
That critics liked Viva Las Vegas.
Is that true, Ken?
Yes, according to Wikipedia.
Ken
Lezebnik.
Who does his research through Wikipedia, which tells you a lot about this show.
Yeah. Ken, who's written documentary after documentary using only Wikipedia.
Right.
As a guy,
he's known as the Wiki Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is sad to think that that critics liked this film. There must have been a dearth in 1964.
I think Elvis was such
movies.
A legend, and the whole beach movie and race car movie was such a thing.
Yeah. Well, there's no beach in this, by the way.
No, they
did show Lake Mead was beautifully showcased.
Yes, Lake Mead was, and there was a Hoover Dam. There was some decent cinematography.
They kept trying to tie in all these things, like the girl's father, William Demarest.
Yeah,
she said, well, the storyline made no sense. He kept trying to say like where she was from, where she was raised, and it turned out her family moved around a lot.
Yeah, but she started in Las Vegas and then got back to Las Vegas.
Yeah, he said her father worked on the Hoover Dam.
And fell in love with the nautical life of Las Vegas.
Yeah. And so then he came back. They lived in a dwelling that was looked
okay,
like
now,
a
Okay, now this
like
I want to
boat.
Touch on, because to me, one reason to possibly see the film, just out of curiosity, is that weird frickin' house or boat they lived in. It was either a house themed like a boat or a boat that was themed like a house.
Yeah, we often couldn't figure out exactly.
There was a helm, and there was a what do you call those? Portholes and ropes and stuff. And yeah, it was almost like a little dream ballet set there. It was really weird, and
it was
lit
weird.
Crazy too.
Yeah, I think that the set designer is also awaiting sentencing right now. And hoping that his
you're saying there
were
some cinematic
flip.
Crimes
it
committed.
Was, there was some bad stuff.
Yeah, even if I hadn't been spending the whole movie punching myself in the nuts over my feelings for Anne Margaret and how, despite how poorly she was being treated by the camera in this movie, I still wouldn't have enjoyed it.
Yeah. Apparently late that night, I wasn't there, but apparently late that night, Adam went to his wife, Jeannie, with a really short pair of shorts and asked her to put them on.
Is that what you think I did?
Yeah.
And who told you that?
Jeannie's mother.
Jeannie's mother. Doris. Now, you are establishing a relationship with Doris for the purpose of this show.
No, Doris told me that she named Jeannie after Jeans.
Yeah, we established that last week that wasn't true.
Jeannie's younger sister after culottes.
Yeah. Culottes. Jeannie does not have a younger sister, in point of fact.
Well, that's because culottes went out of style. You know, the listener can't probably hear this, but the pod puppy is whining right now.
He's weeping, yes.
And it's just over thinking about Viva Las Vegas. The pod puppy did not like that film.
Yeah, and I did not like that film. So based on our dislike of Viva Las Vegas...
Right.
Do you say...
That leads me to tell our viewers, don't go to the new Lion King film.
Now, really?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, do you think it's Viva Lion King, or is it a hunk of burning shit?
It's a hunk of burning shit.
Okay.
You know, wise men say,
only fools see the life Lion people King. Lion King, don't. But I can't help.
Falling in love.
Yeah.
I say don't see it. I say based on our extensive research into Viva Las Vegas, do not see the real people, Lion King.
And I say, given the deeply flawed criteria that we use as my only guide, I will agree with Paula Poundstone. Skip that live-action Lion King because Viva Las Vegas 55 years ago was not a good movie.
There you go.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break right now, Paul. A break from our vacation. And we'll be right back. We've got Ken Lezebnik's America and much more after this.
I'm blowing up my inflatable device.
The cat of the week is McDermott from Hightstown, New Jersey. We're back. Paula, following your vacation, whereabouts are you going to be performing?
I'll be in Ithaca, New York at the State Theater on October 5th. And before that, I'll be in Nashville at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center on September 20th.
Whoa, wait. Did you say Nashville?
I did.
Well, this is a crazy, incredible coincidence. But did you know that tonight's installment of Ken Lezebnik's America... is set in Nashville?
Oh, get out of here.
It's really? Uncanny. Yeah.
Wow. That is uncanny. So this is Ken Lezebnik, our security muscle?
No. That's his son, Ben Lezebnik. This is Ken Lezebnik. Ken, writer, producer. He's a producing partner. He's not always here. Sometimes he works in New York.
He's working. You know, as opposed to the rest of us, Ken has a job.
That's right.
He can't just be here on Miranda Street hanging around like the rest of us. He's actually out on the road traveling the blue highways of this great land.
That's right. So let's start the road trip we call... Ken Lezebnik's America.
You kids, get in the fucking car. Get that dog out of there. We're not taking that dog. We're headed to Nashville.
Oops, I did it again.
Welcome to Ken Lezebnik's America. We packed up the car, the kids are singing in the back, you can hear them, and the family's headed down Highway 40 to the home of the Grand Ole Opry, Nashville, Tennessee.
Could you at least sing a country song? We're going to the home of country music, for fuck's sake.
I hate country music.
Well, son, we're going to Ryman Auditorium, so you'd better change your tune.
Oops, I did it again.
Is that better?
I'm going to get you a fried pickle. Maybe that will shut your pie hole.
And you know what? I can't wait to get to Hattie B's hot chicken.
Spicy hot chicken, fried pickles? Are you trying to kill me? I'm getting nauseous just thinking about this.
Well, son, look, there's the world-famous Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, the world's best dive bar with country music.
Oh, like that's going to be an appropriate place to take a 10-year-old boy?
Are you 10 now? When did that happen?
Hey, everyone. We're passing by the Tennessee Performing Arts Center. I hear that iconic comedian Paula Poundstone will be performing here September 20th. We could stop and get tickets.
I just want a fried pickle.
I just want an herb. In fact, Could you pull over to the side of the road?
No, where's the pan? It's okay.
What? Oh, God.
It's all right, Sonny. Honey, you don't have to eat a fried pickle. All right, put the pan on the floor and don't kick it.
Roof, roof, roof.
That damn dog got in here. He's going to eat the upchuck. Let's get out of here.
Maybe another day we'll visit Reidman Auditorium and pay our respects to the Grand Ole Opry. And maybe someday I'll be able to purchase tickets to see the highly regarded comic Paula Poundstone at the Tennessee Performing Arts Complex. But for today, that's Ken Lezebnik's America.
Thank you so much, Ken Lezebnik. That was really fun.
That was fun. For all my tour dates and to purchase merchandise, including my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirts with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back, please visit paulapoundstone.com.
You know, it strikes me that all of Ken's travelogues to date have also featured him mentioning that you are performing at the very places that...
Just a coincidence.
Okay.
Bizarre coincidence. Yeah. Just happens to happen.
Think nothing of it.
I'm thinking nothing of it.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Fairhaven's a city in a bubble. An actual bubble. It keeps the monsters out. Most of them, anyway.
I never liked the look of movies on Blu-ray. For my money, Betamax is the superior format.
I'm thinking of deleting Facebook and going back to MySpace.
As far as beverages go, I'm just kind of over water.
Though I guess at any given party, you're gonna meet some dudes like that. Even if you're not in the middle of a nightmarish wasteland. Bubble, the sci-fi comedy from MaximumFun.org. Just open your podcast app and search for Bubble.
Become so refreshingly cool in the Ray Horseman studio that I'm now donning a sweater to deliver the end credits. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Our head of security is Ben the Animal Lezebnik. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Remember this classic?
Oh, yeah.
Can
sure.
You feel Anne Margaret tonight?
Yeah, can you? Viva!
Viva Anne Margaret!
This is the harmony that goes with Viva Las Vegas, but you have to do it just right for it to fit in.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Viva Serengeti!
Yeah.
Do you hear it?
Yeah,
do you hear how they go together?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Feels just as spurious as it did half an hour ago when we recorded
don't
it.
Don't go see The Lion King.
Yeah. And don't go see Anne Margaret. She's too good.
She's Nala.
I would love that.
I was purring. I was Anne Margaret purring.
I was punching myself in the nuts.
Anne Margaret had messy hair when she danced.
Yeah.
Which I don't think any woman
delightfully
had ever
messy
had messy hair,
hair
before. Yeah.
Really? You think she was the first sexy, messy hair person?
Yeah. That was very sexy.
Because that became a thing in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Tousled.
Yeah.
Can you feel it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.